Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to the 6th of May 2024 Hong Kong Stories podcast. I'm Rachel Smith. Big, humid hellos go out to our fellow Hong Kongers both here and around the world. We hear you, Hong Kong, and we are listening. It has been a while. Thanks for hanging in there. Podcasts, believe it or not, take a lot of work, and though the biggest part of the work is done by our magnificent storytellers, sometimes the rest of life gets in the way of getting this podcast out. Enough excuses. We've had a March and an April show since the last podcast, and are very much looking forward to our June show that has a theme, Turning Point. It will take place on June 13th at the Fringe Club and is being turned around by Leslie. Ticketing links will be available soon on the website hongkongstories.com. Hong Kong Stories. It's better than drama. It's better than comedy. It's real life. And now for a story from our June 2023 live show, which had the theme Asking for a Friend. Here is a poem by another Leslie titled The 50-ish Sums of a Spare Part. After Leslie, we'll re-listen to another rather literary story from the vault. This one from Giselle. But first, here is Leslie.
Meet the final born and freest of three. On a Red Fort tour before she was four. Saw Bengali beggars cry when not even five. On Route 66 as she turned big girl six. Survived ocean swimming on the eve of seven. Baked her first cake to celebrate eight. Baobabs climbed before she reached nine. Gambian oyster stew relished at 10. A hippo-filled lake felt home at 11. Her African dream shelved once she hit 12. A preteen lacrosse fiend by the age of 13. Hormonal mayhem meant a fraught-filled 14. A supreme dance queen at the dawn of 15. All syrupy sweet as she sashayed to 16. Less than heaven sent on the edge of 17. Seemed exam keen when she made it to 18. It was a combative freshman who conquered 19. Suffered hangovers aplenty before even 20. A BA on's hard won come 21, yet still no clue at gone 22. A law school attendee when just 23, on the slow train to Jaipur once 24, less than streetwise and now 25. She had a Berlin Blitz to bring in 26. It was next stop Dresden come 27. Her first 5K raced at a tender 28. She whined and dined throughout 29. Acted terribly flirty once she hit 30. Declared Paris bon for fams of 31. Became an auntie times two at just 32. Living landlord free by the age of 33. Two marathons feet sore at gone 34. Watched Casbah dives throughout 35. Walked and talked Egypt before 36. Left chickenpox riven, although 37. It was Hong Kong awaits as she turned 38. A China step of mind on the verge of 39. Still acted naughty as a grand old dame of 40. New job down the pan when not yet 41. Found work past as new before 42. The loss of dear daddy was a drag on 43. The follow-up probate war killed 44. Felt barely alive on the stroke of 45. Struck work bonus rich, just gone 46. It was balloons over Bagan on the cusp of 47. Her beloved mother's wake saddened 48. The adopted hound's whine drowned out 49. She vowed to get thrifty before turning 50. Felt remote working one before 51. And Jordan Yu flew as she reached 52. Stayed alcohol-free throughout 53. So ready for more at the dawn of 54. The end. But is it?
From the vault, this story was told at a live show in 2018 that had the theme, Home. Here is Giselle.
For which he wax a little reed of sham, how soberlish he cast down his yen. Crusader gan all his share as bien. And so soft it in her heart sink, and that to herself she said, who yaff me drink? Y'all confused, yeah? 'Cause I was. I took 3 medieval English classes when I was studying master's degree, and I still don't know what I was reading. And you see, I was so bad at it that I have to write it down to remind myself this way. Now, you may think, how did I start speaking this accent? And how did I get myself into this fucking mess? I better backtrack a little. So, when I was a kid, I read lots of British children's stories. And home in those books were like small cottages in sunny streets that smelt like wild blackberries and buttered pastries covered with fluffy melted marshmallows. Not this hot, crowded place where I had to strategize and squeeze between people just so I wouldn't get strolled over by someone's luggage. So yeah, even though I was born and raised all my life here, Hong Kong has never been my home. My parents, like many from their generation, feared the unknown territory of the post-1997 handover. So they applied for and secured a British citizenship in the 1990s before I was even born. But my parents didn't really move to the UK, though. They kept their lives and everything here in Hong Kong. But if anything were to happen to this place where we love to hate and hate to love, it's good to know that we could move. My parents loved the security and did not leave, but I did. So after I graduated from uni last year, I moved to the UK alone. I threw this extravagant Hong Kong-themed party to bid my friends and this place goodbye, and I boarded the plane the next day. 13 hours later, I landed, and I walked straight through the facial identification gate for British citizens. No one to ask me what I was doing in the country or for a visa to stay. It took me just a few seconds, I crossed the border, and I was officially home. But then, what exactly is home? I spent the last 2 years of my undergrad studying post-colonial theories and Hong Kong studies, and all those concepts spoke to me as they emphasized the need to make a home of our own making. So there I was in Birmingham, doing my dissertation on the ontology of home in a post-colonial, post-modern Hong Kong. And my attempt to search for a home went beyond the theoretical context. I found a house with 5 random housemates and with the hopes of living in a British cottage that I've always dreamt of. But instead of a warm, cozy paradise, reality threw me this cold, foggy street as if I was being stuck in Silent Hill. And instead of my unrealistic carpeted kitchen that I've always wanted, I had a freezing kitchen with sticky tiled floors and a greasy gas stove. But still, I did the best I could. I covered all the walls with tapestries and fairy lights, and I cleaned all the furnitures, and until my room looked exactly like those typical room tours. One step closer to being like those English girls like I see on YouTube. But one of the many things that gave me away was my accent, so I tried my best to cover it up and get rid of it. So after a while, my okay la turned into cheers, mate. And my annoyed dima is concealed in a much more British yite love. After all the shedding, it was the decorating. I'd wake up an extra hour early to cake on layers of foundation that was a shade too pale. And I'd heavily contour my nose and my cheekbones while I let the highlight bake on my chin to look more like my classmates. But the creme de la creme was switching all my classes from post-colonial studies to, yep, you got it, medieval literature, even when I knew nothing about it. If classes were all about sitting there and listening to what the teachers were saying, I could still kind of pull my act together. But the thing is, we had to read a paragraph one by one. So while all my classmates were reading the Chaucer and all those alphabets that I don't even know, I was searching for the pronunciations and the context in Chinese because I didn't want anyone to know how clueless I was. I have no idea what the teachers or my classmates were saying, let alone join their discussions. When I was blabbering all those bullshit in my ridiculous accent, my sober self now know that I couldn't blame my classmates for staring at me weirdly. But at that moment, I could feel that imaginary sneer burning into my skin and leaving a mark of shame. I was trying so hard to be put in that box, you know. When I see a Chinese student nearby, I'd make sure to walk far away from them so that I wouldn't be categorized as an international student. But instead, I've wrapped myself up in a cocoon. First, it was just a few threads of embellishing touches, but layers after layers, I had no way out. I felt more Asian than ever. So, in those coldest months in winter, I skipped all my classes, even when I know that I'll fail my courses. But still, I didn't go back to Hong Kong. How could I? For my whole life, I wanted to leave that place. And I gave up and locked myself in my room that smelled like cup noodles because they were all I ate, the cup noodles that my mom has sent me. I didn't want to get out of my bed or my room because I dreaded the day, even when I know that every day is just the same, me avoiding life. And I'd also play this game called The Sims where I could build houses and create virtual people. And I actually created my childhood home in Hong Kong and my apartment that I was living in. And I built houses after houses, and I'd create my friends and the Sim version of myself and watch them reunite in the screen. I didn't really realize what I was doing back then until 2 months and 30 pounds later, my mom finally saw me on Skype. She yelled at my Chinese name. She was like, "Chan Chueying, what are you eating? Is that cheese?" And I was like, "Mom, this is what me mates eat here." And she was like, And I'm like, "My friends, this is what my friends eat, pasta and cheese, it's normal." And my mom said, "They are not my daughter, you are my daughter. Come back to Hong Kong right now." Well, that actually was what I was waiting for. Someone to force me to leave that place instead of me being defeated and going back, because the truth is, Birmingham is not home. So what is home? Am I home yet here in Hong Kong? I am and I am not. Someday I will be home elsewhere, someday when I'm ready. And it took me a while to realize this, that I'm not really proud of, but I didn't take my master's degree for the right reason. All I wanted was to figure out who I was and where I really belonged. But what I know is this: Middle English, medieval literature, fuck that.
Thanks for listening to today's stories brought to you by Hong Kong Stories. The music for this podcast was written and performed by Andrew Robert Smith. Everyone has a story to tell.